Tonight I'd like to invite you to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 reads this way. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and then, Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, that there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence. We pray, Lord, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit, that you might fill us and guide us, that we might hear from you, and Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and our lives empowered to testify of the great grace that you've given to us. Bless your word, bless us as your people, build your church, and we'll praise and thank you, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is simply Led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. And that is really the privilege of the believer to enjoy. God wants us to enjoy that. And so tonight we want to consider three important questions that must be answered if we are to know that we are led by the Spirit of God. This is important for the believer. The lost world has no understanding about this. But the believer has all the opportunities to understand how to be led by the Spirit of God. So three questions, and here they are. Ready? How are we minded? How are we minded? And we'll look at that here in just a moment. Secondly, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? I didn't say, are you indwelt by the Holy Spirit or sealed by the Holy Spirit? We know that. But does the Spirit of God dwell in you? And then thirdly, do you know how to be led by the Spirit of God? Do you know? And this text here really answers these questions. And so, again, it's important as believers that we be aware that God fulfills every part of our salvation, even the filling part, right? When you got saved, did you do anything for it? No, you didn't, because if you did, you're in the wrong church, because we don't believe we did anything for it. We are simply the recipients of the grace of God, and we praise the Lord for that. And only God is the Alpha and the Omega. That means he's the beginning and he's the end. Everything begins with God, because if it wasn't for God, there would be nothing, right? And everything ends with God, and praise God for that, or things wouldn't end well without the Lord. So that truth alone, may it take the weight off of us as the child of God, because he starts everything. Did he begin your salvation? He did, right? He started your salvation. And will he see you to the end? Will he ever let you go out of his hand? So tonight, it's just really a lesson in some truths that God wants us to understand so that we can better enjoy the salvation that he's given to us. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 5. And here's the question, how are we minded? And there's really only two ways to be minded. And we want to redirect to the correct minding if we're in the wrong minded, right? So verse 5 says this, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Then he says this, "For to be carnally minded, to be minded about the natural thing and things and forget about the Spirit is death." But not only that, but then he says, "But to be spiritually minded is life," the life of Christ, "and what? Peace." Life and peace. So carnally minded means this, ready? I can't, and God will never consider that kind of a mindset. I can't do it. And by the way, if I say I can't do it, I'm carnally minded, because where am I looking? I'm looking to myself. But to be spiritually minded says God can. And God is always considered and consulted to bring the believer into the victory that he's purchased for us. He's already paid for it. He says, "I just want you to walk in it. I will bring you into the promises," right? I'm going to free you from the world, and I am going to bring you into the promised land, or in our day and age, into the promises of God. All you have to do is follow me. All you have to do is believe that I will take you into it. That sets us free. God is the one that brings us into it. Unbelief keeps us out. Belief in the promises of God and in his faithfulness brings us into these promises. So he says, verse 7, "Because the carnal mind," listen to this, "is enmity against God." You remember when they bickered and complained in the wilderness? "Oh, you didn't give us, you brought us out here to die, Moses," right? And so that was carnally minded, right?
Did God ever leave them or forsake them? See, here's what we think. We think that, and here's what they thought too. They shouldn't suffer a thing. They shouldn't suffer. They shouldn't be without anything. Everything should be done before they need it. Well, what faith is that? What faith? You know what faith is? Faith is trusting that God is faithful. Amen. If our faith is in God, even when we can't see it, even when it makes no sense to us, even when we don't understand it. God, is God still God?
Yes.
Is he merciful?
Yes.
Is he faithful? And is he full of grace? Because if he's not, I wouldn't be here. And I thank the Lord for that, and we ought to thank God for that. And may our love for him grow to an even greater depth because of him. So he says, because the carnal mind in verse 7 is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Listen, neither indeed can it be. Now listen to this. Listen to this verse here. Because the carnal mind, so he's telling us to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then he goes back and he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And he tells us why. For it is not subject. When you subject yourself, you place yourself under the authority. And listen, he says, because it is not subject to the law of God, listen, neither indeed can it be. It just won't ever happen. You cannot walk in the natural realm. You cannot lean to your own understanding. You cannot use human reasoning. Listen, let me remind you of something. Do you remember when Aaron and his sister spoke out against Moses? And do you remember, listen, the Lord intervened, and the Lord said, they were questioning his authority. Hasn't the Lord spoken to us? Remember, you remember that? And so they were questioning, listen, they were not questioning Moses. Moses didn't say a word. God called them out and said, why are you questioning in so many words? The Lord said, my servant Moses, he's just doing what I'm telling him to do. And what you're really doing is you're questioning my authority. And so because they did that, the sister ended up with leprosy, didn't she? And then she had to be shut out. And then she was healed. She was prayed for. And she was allowed to recover. Moses did not stand up for his authority, because it's not his. It was God's authority. Now, Moses didn't understand that at the very beginning. If you remember, when he was in Egypt and he saw the two brethren fighting, remember? And they said, hey, wait, who are you? Are you gonna kill us like you killed the Egyptian? Uh-oh. And it took him 40 years on the backside of a desert for God to humble him and to get him in the place where he wasn't thinking about, it's not my authority. It's not. Hey, whose church is it? It's God's church. Now, we're part of it, but this is the Lord's church. And so, but here's the important part, that we subject ourselves, that we become subjects to the authority of God. Now, so I've had, you know, I taught teenagers, right? I taught them in junior high and senior high for 7 years, and I had them in Sunday school classes and youth groups and things of that through my ministry. And they liked, some of the kids that grew up in church liked to bring out, parents, don't provoke your children to wrath. They think that's funny, don't they? I said, well, what's before that? Children, obey your parents. Do you know what they're doing? They are defying, what they're saying is, here's what they're really saying. I'm not going to obey my parents until you guys get it right and don't provoke me to anger and don't provoke me. Well, that's not their business. They're shirking the authority of God off. Their business is to follow what God gave them, and that is to obey and honor their parents. Now, should the parents, does that give the parents free cause to go ahead and provoke their children to wrath? Absolutely not. Because the parent, see, has also the equal responsibility to obey the authority of God. But what happens is the natural realm wants to find a flaw so that we can excuse ourselves from following after the Lord. And that's to be carnally minded. Okay, so you win the argument. Don't obey the Lord in obeying your parents because your parents are going to provoke you to wrath. That's just going to happen. God is the one that ordained humankind, men, frail man, to be leaders in different positions. And women. Did God know what he was doing? Yes. Did he know that there would be mistakes? Yes. But that does not negate God's direction. That does not negate our responsibility. So look what it has escalated to today. So you know what we do? Well, I'm not going to follow what the police officer says until I think they stop beating people up. No. The authority, listen, they are the law. We are becoming a nation that is lawless. Are there bad police officers? I dare say there are. But it's not your responsibility as a citizen to point them out. It's their higher ups. Whether they do it or not, God said that the authority that's on earth here, I set it up. As believers, obey it. And will they be wrong? My goodness, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Are they going to make mistakes? Absolutely. But does that negate the law of God? No, it doesn't. So see, we need to be careful that we are following what God is saying, or we're not opening up ourselves up to the blessings of God. We are stiff-arming God. We're saying, I will go this far. The rest of the way, I'm going by my way. Is God going to bless that? I'm going to lean to my understanding. I don't agree with this one, Lord. Well, let's just look at this. We've got a very finite mind, and God is very infinite, and praise God for that. And he knows what he's doing, I dare say, a lot more than we do. And so we would be wise to completely leave it in the Lord's hands. And so many times this has come up. Do you remember they questioned Aaron? Well, listen, we be prophets too, you know, and remember what the Lord, take the rod from every tribe and let's put it down, and over, and the next day we'll decide, God will show you the rod that buds, that's the one I've chosen. And it was Aaron's rod. Did Aaron have anything to do with that rod budding? No, God did. Do you know what God was saying? This is the tribe I have chosen to be my priesthood. And Aaron is the one who I've chosen. Now, did Aaron ever make a mistake? I don't know. You know, we threw some gold in and out came this calf. That's a big one. And God still kept, did God fire Aaron? No, he kept them there, right? Because God said, listen, you and I would have no hope if God didn't work through us. And so are we going to make mistakes? Oh boy, yeah, we're going to make mistakes. Aren't you glad God's not done with us? And he'll never be. See, if we're not careful, we just see it. We just see it from our own viewpoint, and we are imperfect. We are so quick to say, well, let me just tell you, if I was, well, you're not. And I'm not. Because it's all about God. See? It is God who rules in the affairs of mankind. And do you know there is a freedom in trusting and believing in that? Amen. Did Joseph buck against the authority? And he was falsely accused, remember, by Potiphar's wife. You don't find any account that he ever said, at least at that moment. Now, he did say it to the butler and the baker afterwards. Don't forget about me. I've been put in here unjustly. Yeah, he did say it, but he said, you know, let Pharaoh know. But they forgot. But he still didn't complain for another 2 years longer. He was still left in prison. He could have went and... The keeper of the prison left everything in his hand. Do you think the keeper of the prison thought a lot about Joseph? He did. He could have gone right to him and told him, but he didn't do that. And so he was trusting, he was leaning on the Lord. It would bless us as believers to lean on the Lord. So he says here, listen, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is, how would you say, a rebel against the authority of God. So we are either submissive or we are obstinate towards the things that God is leading us in. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And he's talking to believers. He's definitely not talking about the lost world. He's asking, what's the position of our mind? How are we thinking? Are we leadable? Is God able to lead us into the green pastures? Not if we're full of ourselves. It'll never happen. Verse 8, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So the question is, are you walking in the flesh? Well, how do I know if I'm walking in the flesh? I am defiant of the things of God. Oh, not all of them, but just some, the ones I don't like. Those are the ones I'm defiant against. Oh, well then God doesn't have our whole heart, does he? We have to be willing to say, Lord, all of me is yours. If you will just take me, guide me, and use me for your honor and glory. And I don't have to be any man on the totem pole. The big one, the small one, the medium. I don't have to be any one of them. I want you to do what you created me for, whatever that might be. So we find here the importance of answering the question, how are we minded? Is it possible for a believer to be carnally minded? It is. It's unfortunate, but that's the truth. So how are we minded? Secondly, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Verse 9 says this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. In other words, that potential is there. You have all you have to do. God didn't say you had to be perfect. Just are you yielded to the Spirit? Are you willing to be led by the Spirit? Are you willing to believe what the Spirit of God is saying? The Spirit of God is saying, I am going to empower your life. You have been crucified, not on the cross next to the Lord, but with Christ. You have been crucified and risen again by the glory of the Father. Isn't that amazing? By the power of the Father. So does that mean that we also, because we're in Christ and we were crucified with Christ, does that mean that that same Holy Spirit power dwells within you and me? It would be the best thing for us to say, okay, Lord, let me shift my way of thinking. Are you indwelt by the Spirit tonight if you're saved?
Amen.
Are you sure?
Amen.
Amen, you are. And so what are you going to lean on? If you say, I can't, what are you leaning on? That's it. It doesn't work any other way. Now, listen. God is not saying that you're not going to make any mistakes. But are you willing to be led by the Spirit and believe the Spirit? That's the whole key right there. Forget about perfection. Leave that with the Lord. Leave that with the Lord. Did Peter make mistakes? Did God bring him through those mistakes to use him mightily? He will bring you and I through those same mistakes. Not identically, but whatever the mistakes are, to use us for his honor and glory. He'll do that. That's his will. That's his plan. So verse 9 again, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. In other words, you're not saved. You don't have a relationship with the Lord. But if you have a relationship with the Lord, what he's saying is you've got the Spirit of God. And you don't have to live in the flesh. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, and he is if you're saved, the body is dead because of sin. What are you going to believe? The body is dead. And I've been raised with Christ. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? That's right, not mine, God's. So who are we going to look to? God's righteousness. God's going to work this out. All right, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him, listen to this, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and he does if you're saved. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, listen, quicken your mortal bodies. Not your immortal, quicken, make alive your mortal body right now, right here, on this side of eternity. I didn't say that. God did. Now, just to be perfectly clear, we are not talking about sinless perfection. We're not talking about that. But we are talking about God bringing us into the victory that belongs to the Lord. That's his plan. Okay, we just need to see it. God just needs to reveal that truth to you personally. God needs to give you, I can't do it for you. You just have to say, that makes sense. You call upon the Lord so that God can personally take you on His journey, on His plan for your life. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. I just have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, fulfill your will in me. See? Do you believe in God tonight?
Amen.
Okay. What does that mean? Don't answer that. It can mean a lot of things, all right? But it should mean all of God's promises. I believe in God. I believe in all of His promises. I believe in His power. I believe in His word that He has promised to fulfill His will in my life. That's where it begins. That's where the transforming power is set free in our lives, because now we've invited God in. Because we're not looking at ourselves anymore as to doing this in my strength and in my power. No, God says, I'll do it. So he says, but verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's powerful truth. That sets us free as believers. You didn't know we needed to be set free from ourselves. You thought you are free eternally in a sense of your condemnation before the Lord, but God wants to set the life of Christ free in you and me.
Amen.
God wants to use that spirit that's entwined with yours, because He quickened yours with it, to speak to believers and to unbelievers so that the Spirit of God will touch them and convict them, and there'll be a power release that we don't have in ourselves that will bring conviction to the lost and will bring grace to the believer. And that's why the body of Christ, listen, we talk about fellowship. This is important, the believers coming together, because you are coming to church with part of the Lord that indwells you in the Spirit of God. And that part of the body, believe it or not, listen, influences the church. You listen, is there one? Does God say there's one part of the body that's more important than the other? Mm-mm. You know how you'll remember that? You ever stub your toe in the middle of the night? You forgot about what you were doing. You may have been on the way somewhere, but that stopped. Amen. Because you had to grab that toe and make sure you didn't rip it off or break it or whatever, you know, may have happened to it. And so likewise is every part of the body equally important to the Lord. Verse 12. Therefore, because He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, because by His Spirit that dwelleth in you, God's going to do great and mighty things. Therefore, brethren, He's not talking to the lost. We are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We got to get our minds off and ask God to get our minds off of what we can and cannot do. That's got to get out of our vocabulary. That will stymie the Spirit of God. We've got to say, Lord, I don't understand it, and I don't know how much experience there's no doubt in my mind you have sensed the Spirit of God in your life at different times. If you've got the Spirit of God, you've seen it move. You've seen God intervene on your behalf. But God doesn't want that to be an annual thing or a decade thing. He wants it to be an everyday thing. Now, how is that going to happen? Well, do you believe that God works out all things for my good? That means you're good. Yeah, brother, I believe that's for your good. No. Listen, we have to stop. And say, Lord, today, help me to see your hand in everything. Even, listen, I need God to show me in the trials and difficulties that He's in there.
Amen.
And He's allowed that. And Lord, by your grace, I'm not going to be moved. What do I mean by that? What does God mean? To react like the world. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to gripe. By your grace, by your power, not my power, I want to see your hand in such a way that you bring me through that trial. Throw everything on the Lord and don't take a bit of it. Because God won't share His glory with anybody. And listen, we will never succeed God will never be able to bless Northwood Baptist Church until he gets a hold of you and me. Personally, in our lives. And I got to move along. All right. Last thought here. Ready? Do you know how to be led by the Spirit of God? And again, this has to do with entering into the same kind of life that Jesus Christ lived in. Did he have waiters and waitresses and chauffeurs and all that? No. We need to learn by the and not teach ourselves. We need to allow the Lord to teach us to experience the same life. And did he bicker and complain when the devil said, if you be God, well, let me show you who I am. No, he didn't do any of that, did he? He humbly submitted himself to every trial and every ridicule and every blasphemy to the glory. He submitted himself under the authority of the Father. We must submit ourselves, believing that the Father is in control. Verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, if, that's an if, right? You don't have to do the flesh. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, the Spirit is capitalized, right? That's your spirit, but it's yielded to the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? That means, Lord, remind me, and here's what's going to happen. Because maybe not. Maybe you're just going to see it. I see it before it happens sometimes. I will just tell you, after I react the wrong way, get upset, worried, afraid, right? And then I think, oh, but wait a minute. There's the flesh again. I'm leaning on the flesh, Lord. But then that's the beginning of it. You start to see it maybe right after it. But I tell you, there were times where I was fearful, upset, whatever the case, and thought I was right, bless God, and never saw it. And then God shows it to me, but because I'm asking him, I see it. And now I'm able to see it as I'm going into it that I can walk in peace. I'm not perfect. I'm just telling you God's faithful. Amen? And I can tell you, I can sense the Spirit, and everything is all right, even when it's not all right. Let me say that again. Everything can be all right in the Lord when everything is not all right the way we would like it to be. But it's still all right. But you've got to start somewhere with the Lord and let him take you and forget about... You will see, it's a growing process. And I, the Lord gets stronger in your life. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Listen to this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that implies daughters and everybody else, right? Men and women, boys and girls. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When you go through a trial, call on the Father. When you see one coming your way, oh God, what am I asking you? That I am submissive, that I will not defy your authority, that I will have your peace and your joy as I right now. Whatever the problem might be, whatever the trial might be, Lord, that you might have your will and your way in me. Amen. That's what it means to cry, Abba, Father. Daddy, Father. That means I trust you, Dad. Verse 16 and 17, and we're done. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Did you see that they're two together, aren't they? The Spirit's with ours. The Holy Spirit is with our quickened spirit that we are the children of God. When we start seeing that, we enjoy more of it. When we start entering into that part and seeing God work, we're experiencing God on a daily basis. That will give you cause to praise the Lord when you sense His Spirit taking that load off, taking that worry, taking that fear, and going through it. And the world looks at that and says, what is that? But if we act like the world, they won't ever say a thing. Puh! What do you got? Nothing if it's not Christ. Even as a saved child of God, let them see the Spirit of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, and so be that, listen, that we suffer with him. You ever see it like that before? We need to allow the suffering of whatever Christ has come our way. Stop looking at what people do and realize it's what God is. Is God over all?
Amen.
Do you mean he's even over all when things don't go our way? Do you mean to tell me he's over all when somebody does something that is wrong? Is it right for somebody to smite you on the cheek? No. But we're supposed to turn it. And we won't turn it unless God's in on it. And it doesn't have to be a physical smiting. It could be something said that's not right. You don't have to do a thing. Let God have it. And if children, verse 17, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, listen, that we may be also glorified together. Isn't that good? Not just in the life to come, but in this life, you will see the glory of God in you. And the glory of God is merciful. And the glory of God is honoring and submissive. And the glory of God is peace. The glory of God is joy.
Amen.
That's what God's glory is in your life and mine. So tonight, God wants us to be led by the Spirit, if we'll have it. Would you stand? Let's pray as we dismiss for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you for your word, the wisdom and understanding that it brings. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us and showing us your way. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts that we might call upon you to fulfill your will and your way in each and every one of our lives, that we might truly be a church that is submissive to your authority and resting and experiencing your great joy and peace that passes the understanding of the world, and that we might turn many, many souls, Lord, toward you because of your grace and power in our lives. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.